Before I start, I just want to say this week has been like crazy week, you know? You know, I'm working the rodeo and it's raining one day and then the sunshine the next day, and today it's raining. I come out, I call Steve. I told him I wasn't going to be able to do this reading. But I got a ride, and soon I stepped in the door. They, you know, we was praying, so that's good too. It's just bear with me. That's But today I'll be reading from Mark 8, 31 through 38. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And taking him aside, Peter began to rebuke him. But turning around and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on God things, but on human things." And calling the crowd with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone wants to come along behind him, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save her life and will lose it, and whoever loses her life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what does it profit anyone to gain the whole world and forget their own life? Indeed, what can anyone give in exchange for their own life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my word is in this adulterous and sinful generation, of that one will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Thank you.
Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, I thank you that we could be here today, that we got here safely through the rain and the traffic. I thank you for the words of these songs that we have sung this morning, and for the talented songwriters. And I'm also thinking of the one, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you." When we are surrounded by bad news, right at that moment, we can't see what good might come of it, if any. But Father, we trust you, that you are in control of what is happening, and that you are with us. I'm thinking especially of the school shooting lately, and I think that last funeral is today, and what those families have been through. But Father, we ask that you would open our eyes, that we could see you and hear your answers and see your answers when they are provided for us. Just give us comfort, dear Lord, at this time, and help us to look for the good. In your Son's name I pray, amen.
I think it won't hurt to move this. I'd have to move it back. Well, we've all heard this kind of joke, good news and bad news, like this. I have good news and bad news about the car. Good news, the airbags work. But sometimes the difference between good and bad news depends on where you are. Like this. Congratulations. There's that missing slide that I forgot to move. That's okay. Okay. Congratulations. Next week, you're going to move here to live. Well, if you live here now, that's bad news. But if you lived here, that would be great news. The second illustration might be over the top, so pardon me. But a guy from Africa told me it once at ACU, so I think it must be all right. So this lady who keeps a spotless house says, "Congratulations, you're going to get all of your water from this nice porcelain fixture right over here in the corner, which I have grayed out and spared us the photo because most of us have a plenty good imagination." Well, if you're accustomed to drinking from here, that would be very bad news. But if this is where you get your water from, that porcelain fixture would be great news. So again, sometimes the difference between good and bad news just depends on where you are. Well, Larry gave us a little quiz last month. He asked us, what is the gospel, the good news that Jesus preached as Mark presents it? Do you remember? I hear some murmuring, but I don't really hear an answer. The kingdom of God is near. So as background to the passage that we have heard this morning, Jesus has been preaching that good news about the kingdom of God, and people have heard it and have begun to follow him, and 12 of them he has called as apostles, and Jesus is doing miraculous healings, he is casting out demons, and he is teaching in parables about the kingdom of God. And Peter, one of these apostles, has grasped somehow, he has come to understand that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel, the long-awaited king anointed by the will of God. So just think, if the kingdom is near and here's the king, well, then it's really near. And that is great news. So Jesus does a strange thing. He says, don't tell anybody about this. And it was good news until today, when Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And he said this plainly. And this is bad news. So, taking him aside, Peter began to rebuke him. Lord, this is not going to happen to you. We know what Messiah is supposed to do. He will set our country in order. He will get rid of these idolatrous Roman foreigners that are ruling over us, taxing us, oppressing us. Messiah does not die. And then Jesus rebukes him in the strongest language. Can I get a couple of our kids to come up and help me with an illustration? Any young people, would you come up and help me? Would you come up and help me? Y'all come up here. Won't promise not to hurt you. It'll be good news. Come on up. That's two. I need about two more. Can I get two more? Here's one hiding under the chair. Here's one coming. Maybe three will be enough. That'll be good. All right. So were y'all listening very carefully when Stanley read the scripture this morning? Were you? If you were listening real carefully, tell me what's wrong with that picture. There's something wrong with it. Do you see anything wrong with it? No. Let me read this again. Taking him aside, Peter began to rebuke him, but turning around and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, do you see anything wrong with that picture? I didn't get that till this week. Turning around and looking at his disciples. So, okay, y'all be the disciples. Can you be Peter? So you don't have to really do anything. Just stand up for me. Okay, so you don't like what I'm saying, and you bring me over here. So you carry me way over here, and you start telling me, you know, how it is. And then I turn around, and I say, "Get behind me, Satan. I'm talking to y'all. Get behind me, Satan. Thank you." Y'all can take your seats now. I'm done. So why did Jesus call Peter such a name? Why would he use that strong of language? Let's go back to Mark 1. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. Remember that? We're in a 40-day season now. Tempted by Satan. "Get behind me, Satan. Don't tempt me, Peter, because I too would like things the way that you say. Not only is it tempting, it would be my right as Messiah to set things up that way. But instead, if anybody wants to come along behind me." And let's talk a moment about translations. I love to talk about translations. We knew a preacher one time, and people would ask him, "Which is the best version to use?" He said, "The one you'll read." And I believe that. But if you like to talk about languages and words and translations, well, I can't get enough of it. So another time we'll do that. Back to the text. The odd thing is here, most translations say, "If anyone wants to come after me or be my follower," or something like that. Not a single translation that I found captured the fact that "get behind me," and "if anybody wants to come after me," actually "behind me," is the exact same word. So the one saying is connected to the other one. He tells Peter, "Get behind me." He says, "Now, if anybody wants to get behind me and be my disciple and follow me, then this is how it will be." And so that's what I put, "come along behind me," even though it sounds a little bit awkward in English. Get behind me, Satan, they're the same word. "If anyone wants to come along behind me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Deny yourself. How could you ever welcome a announcement or command or whatever you want like that? Later on in Mark's gospel, we remember there's a rich man, and Jesus loves him and tells him he needs to deny himself. What? Give up my stuff? No. And especially because, you know, especially if you think all your stuff is some kind of reward from God for you being such a good guy, why would you ever deny yourself anything that you could have or you could do? There was an entertainer I used to like, and this really troubled him. And he gave up his faith over that. At least he said he did. He could not agree that you should deny yourself of anything that you wanted or that you could have or that would be good. So if we're honest, I think this troubles us. It's not an easy saying. It's certainly not an easy doing. So why would any of us ever do that? We would only do it because we want to follow the Son of Man and to do as He did. And so the second half is even harder. To take up your cross. How did they hear that? Well, it's capital punishment. What's capital punishment? We know what that is. That's when the government puts you to death for what you did. And if it weren't just enough for it to be capital punishment, the cross is not just any capital punishment. It's the worst kind. The Romans had more than one. But the cross was the worst. To hang a man on a cross was a disgrace. That was reserved for the ones the government wanted to make an example out of. Don't do what this man did if you don't want to be here. So take up your cross is hard, and it is not this. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it would look more like that. So what would that be for us? People don't get crucified in the United States. What would we be carrying towards capital punishment. Well, in my early life, capital punishment in Texas was by the electric chair. And we kids would tell scary stories about it. Did anybody else do that? We knew so much about it, right? But we would tell scary stories about it. But those probably weren't too far from the truth. Well, I can't produce one for this illustration, fortunately. And today in Texas, capital punishment is by lethal injection. And at other times and other places in America, capital punishment has been by firing squad or by gas or by hanging. So would carry your cross look something like that? Okay, I know. That's disgusting. Yes, it is. It's disgusting. I'm trying to show us Peter's reaction to carry your cross. The cross is disgusting. It's not jewelry to Peter. That won't come along for a long time. It's vile. It's embarrassing. It's scandalous. Exactly. And Peter says, this is not going to happen to you. So all this is sounding like very bad news indeed until we're willing to hear it all. Because remember, it depends on where you're standing as to how good the news is. It took the disciples quite a while to see it. On another occasion, Jesus gives the disciples even more detail. We're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. And then they will hand him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and flog him and spit upon him, kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise again. And the disciples' response to that bit of information is, ask a favor. Lord, grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory, because we want glory too. And in other words, we'd like to be the top guys in your cabinet when you're king. They're not doing very well on that deny yourself thing. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said, we are able. And Jesus gives what to me is the most chilling answer maybe in the New Testament. You will. And he continues to teach them. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And that is good news. Say it with me. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That is denying yourself. Now, we're familiar with these words from the night Jesus was arrested in the garden. He threw himself on the ground and prayed, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet. Not what I want, but what you want. That is denying yourself. What if a whole church could deny itself and take up its cross? What if everybody in a whole church could say, Father, not what I want, but what you want? You know, I hear churches advertised, a church where I can be myself. I have not seen a church advertised that says a church where you can deny yourself. Not what I want, but what you want. I hear churches talk about unconditional love and unconditional acceptance. And that has a certain appeal. But Jesus sounds like he has conditions. If anybody wants to come along behind me, I'll accept him. Not here, he doesn't say that. He says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. God will accept me just like I am. But he does not let me stay that way. And there is a huge difference. If I want to save my life, just stay like I am, I will lose it. Think about Exodus, the Exodus, and the book of Exodus. So Israel, where are they? They're in Egypt. God takes them just like they are. They are slaves. They don't know Yahweh. They've only ever known Egypt. And just like they are, he brings them out of Egypt. But they cannot stay that way. They have to be changed. So what commands does he give them? I see a smile in the audience and I feel good about that. The command he gives them is, I am Yahweh your God who brought you out of Egypt. Did you know that's the first commandment? We thought it was something else, but that's the first. I brought you out. While you were the way you were, I didn't change you yet. I brought you out of Egypt, so you shall this, you shall that, you shall the other, and you shall not this, and you shall not that, and you shall not the other. You may not remain the way you were, like the Egyptians. So how can take up your cross be good news? Come to me, Jesus says. All who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How can his yoke be easy? You ever seen one? How many spots do they have? Two. He's on the other side of it. That's why it's his yoke. And I never thought about that until recently. Because he's with us. Always. To the end of the age. And his church is not a place to be yourself. Myself is terribly flawed. And thank you, C.S. Lewis. Myself is not just an imperfect creature who needs improvement. Myself is a rebel who must lay down his arms. Surrendering. Say you're sorry. Realizing you've been on the wrong track. You need to start over. That is the way out of the hole. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And it's part of the gospel. Taking us back to Mark 1. Repent, Jesus says, and believe in the good news. Now, this movement, full speed astern, is no fun at all. It means unlearning everything. All the conceit and the self-will we've been training for as long as there have been people in the world. It's like a kind of death. Die and be raised to walk in new life. Have you heard an advertisement? Here's the church where you can die. No. Be born a second time. This kind of do-over. This is the language of Scripture. Die and be raised to walk in new life. Be born a second time. No. God does not intend for us to be ourselves. He will change things. Remodel the house. And this kind of change is not a paint job. And it's not a cosmetic facelift, which may be what I wanted. He's build a whole new wing. Tear down walls. Add new floors. Even more than Chip and Joanna. Nobody will recognize the place. Your cottage is becoming a palace. Why? He's planning to live there. Do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in you. Really good news. That is why we would deny ourselves, to make room for God's Spirit to live in us. Well, repentance leads us to obey the good news. Do you remember what it means to obey the gospel? In the Gospel of Mark, Larry told us that a month ago. Does anybody remember what it means to obey the gospel? Follow me. And follow me means a host of things. So stay with us and learn more about it.